cliffcentral.com. Womantla on cliffcentral.com.
I am living my dream right now. Living my dream. It's the first of the month, and that's like, oh, from the first time I ever heard the song, I was like, if ever I'm on radio on this day, I'm going to play the song. It's the way I'm going to start it up. And so this is me living my dream. I'm Phumi Mashego, and you're tuned into Womandla. And today I think I'm having lots of my dreams coming true, because I was having a gynae to come in, and unfortunately she's not well, so she's cancelled on me. And I hope you feel better, young lady. And then I've spent like the past like hour and a half frantically seeing if I can get hold of any other person to come on. And I'm very lucky, because at the studio right now we've got two pregnant fairies.
Not yet.
No, but I think everybody that listens to Cliff Central by now knows about Jane, right?
Yes.
And right next door at our, with our friends at Touch Central, they are music compiler Felicity.
Yes.
Super cute, walking around with those tatas. She's walking around with those boobs that you can only have.
Boobies. Yeah, boobies everywhere. Boobies everywhere.
But first pregnancy. And so I hauled her into the studio to say, I can't get a gynae, but you've been to a lot of gynae appointments. Mm-hmm. And this is your first time of being like prodded and touched. And I
yes.
think this kind of conversation is my dream conversation for a person that's going through it. And then Palesa, that everybody knows and remembers, right?
From yes,
back
producer.
In the day, Palesa, mm-hmm. the producer, is telling me how desperately this is her year of falling pregnant. So I'm just like,
yep.
It's all coming together for me.
Yep.
It's February. It's Reproductive Health Month.
Oh,
it is.
Really?
That's what February is,
okay.
y'all. Reproductive Health Month. It is also sometime this week, I think in the third week of February, it's like Condom Week.
Yes, actually.
So which is apt, but apt in the month of apt in the month of February,
indeed.
These things. Because isn't that what we all get up to?
Love.
And I think for me, one of the first things, the thing though about being pregnant, is it's an outward manifestation of you've been getting laid.
It definitely
yes.
is. Oh, my word.
It's proof.
It's proof.
It's so much proof. Like, everybody's like,
So you've been getting up and dirty in there.
Yeah, you've been having sex and now we know you're fertile.
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. Like,
first pregnancy, Palesa. Tell me your big shocks of what's happening to you.
Oh, me. Oh, me. Felicity.
Oh,
yes, yeah.
Palesa, Felicity.
See, it's there. It's there. I'm getting it.
I think for me, one of the things that was really, you can't really prepare yourself for it, is in that first trimester, the nausea, like I just couldn't, like, you know when you can't even concentrate. And for the longest time, I had to pretend like I wasn't feeling that way because I wasn't sure if I wanted to tell people that I was pregnant. So there I am feeling horrible, and I've got to pretend like there's nothing wrong with me at all, and I'm busy trying to throw up everywhere. I'm using public transport, and the women with their, I don't know what they're spraying on their bodies, I'm like, I am about to throw up in this taxi. Like, it was insane, and I had to literally pretend like I wasn't going through the most. So for me, that was a big thing. Another one was also some of the restrictions, like the food restrictions. It just feels like everybody tells you don't eat anything at all, but eat everything because you need to like grow a baby, but don't eat anything because everything's gonna kill the baby,
like
and
sushi,
yeah, like
and carpaccio.
And you're just like, and sometimes you forget, and you like, while you're chewing something, you're like, oh snap, I think I shouldn't be eating this.
Baby.
Yeah, like I was eating biltong and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't think I should be eating this.
Biltong, you can eat.
It was one of the raw, that raw tasting one. Yeah, those thin ones, those thin sheets. So I felt like that wasn't a good idea. And also, I suppose another big thing is just, this is a bit of TMI, but
ain't no TMI here. We're Cliff Central. We're uncensored. And on Womandla in particular,
oh,
we're
okay.
all about the unspoken and unheard.
Well, I wanted to do some grooming on myself. And it had been a while since I had done that because, like, you know, I'll say it outright. I broke up with my baby's father. So I wasn't like out here trying to look cute in the bed or whatever. So I was like, no, I'm not going to like do anything. And then I was like, oh, I need to go see my gynae and I don't want to be ratchet in front of my gynae. Let me just groom a little bit.
So do you shave or do you wax?
I shave.
Okay.
Yeah, the waxing thing does not work out very well for me. Yeah. But so I was like, okay, I'm gonna shave. And I was like, wait, where am I? I can't find myself. I can't really see. And like, I'm trying to put my legs on different places. And I'm like, no, even if I put my leg up on this chair, like nothing worked. I couldn't see a damn thing. I was like, how am I supposed to do this? I was so scared because I was like, I'm gonna cut myself or something. And yeah, for me, that was the biggest shot. I didn't realize how big I had grown to the point where I wouldn't actually be able to groom myself, and also just like how tough it is to put on shoes and random things like that. Like,
so I am gonna tell you this about on the subject of grooming.
Yes.
Right. That do yourself a favor, young lady. Find the person that's going to like
help you out.
Do the deed your behalf before you go into that hospital to have that baby.
I've heard about
because
that.
Then the nurse doesn't give a damn.
Yeah.
And you have to be shaved.
You do.
The height of like exposure and feeling like is in that moment when the nurse walks in.
Everything's out there.
I actually have a friend who's just like this nurse. What? And the nurse walked in with like a bowl of water and
just to shave off.
Yes.
Water.
A bowl of water and a razor. Yeah. What do you think they...
They don't have time and they do this.
They don't have your
time.
Yeah. They don't have time for that nonsense.
So it's 1-2 next. 1-2 next. Wow, guys. Clearly, I need to get up on this. Like.
So, yeah, keep it groomed.
Okay, I will do. Now I know.
How far are you?
I am 32 weeks.
Ooh, any moment now.
Literally any moment now. So, yeah, I'm quite excited, quite nervous at the same time. But, yeah.
And tell me about your big emotions. Going through all of this. So you had we're not going to talk about him.
Yeah.
But you, when you're pregnant, everything is emotional. Balisa, this is all for your benefit.
I'm listening.
I remember being pregnant and how everything was unreasonably emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you then dealt with all of the changes, but also being by yourself?
I think
doing this.
For me, I'm a very emotional person, but I'm those type that like I'm very like hardcore on the outside, but I'm like a soft little marshmallow on the inside. And usually like if I'm upset about something, I usually act very tough in front of people, but then I'll go home and then I think about it and then I cry at home. And I think I've really been consistent with that. I try to like keep a tough outward appearance. Especially because when I found out I was pregnant, it was also me starting a new job, and I felt like I needed to overly I felt like I needed to present myself in such a way that when I do reveal to the bosses that I'm having a baby, that they're like, okay, this girl has been competent, she's done more than what we've asked her to, blah blah blah. So I tried very hard to be very, very tough. And I remember running up and down, because I'm still doing my master's, I'm going to be submitting in March, but I was going up and down like twice a day between the station and going to Wits and stuff like that, and really, really putting myself under a lot of strain because I wanted to seem so tough, so that when I finally reveal it, people don't see me as some pretty sort of like emotional, like weak person. And the thing is, it's not that there's something wrong with that. I just think I was going through so much at the time that it felt like I needed to convince myself that I was stronger than perhaps I was feeling at the moment, at the time. So and it was personal stuff and work related stuff and school related stuff as well, all just coming in at the same time. So I really I tried really hard to put out a tough outer exterior. But also just emotionally, I guess I'm just that type of person. I'll leave it for when I get home, you know, and deal with it on my own. I'm not very good at expressing myself with other other people or wanting hugs from people. I don't like sympathy. I don't like being comforted. It feels very uncomfortable for me. And so I kind of deal with things on my own. Even my family, I told them after a very, very long time that I was going to have the baby. And I was like, listen, this is the information that I'm giving you. And I'm not willing to give you any more at this particular point. When I'm ready and when I think the situation allows, I will bring you in on some extra information that will help us through this journey. So I'm not going to give you names of people and family names for now. I'll give them to you when we are ready and when me and this person have decided that we're going to fix what's going on here, make sure that it's secure. Because I don't want to go and speak in front of grown-ups and not have answers. I need to give you answers.
And how did that work out for you?
It worked out very well because I think even though I'm the youngest in my family realizes how independent I am and how if I say something, I really do mean what I say and I really am going to fix it. No, like you don't really have to worry about me. I'm that type of person. So I was like, I know what I'm doing. And even though you might feel like you want to have more or have more of an insight in terms of what's going on, you will in the right time. But this is my situation and I need to handle it like this so that I can be the strongest when it all comes together. And so that's what I did. So I kind of cut a lot of people out of some of the inner workings of what I was going through in order to make sure that I'm ready when I speak about it. I don't cry and I don't do funny things. You know what I mean? I want to be able to speak about like my whole situation and feel like I don't have any sort of emotional baggage around it. And I also want to feel like I've made a decision that I'm comfortable with in terms of people asking me questions and having access to my private life. I know that it's my family, but at the same time, it's also my private life. So I don't want to give you this much access so that when I'm not there, you guys can talk about my situation. So rather you know nothing and there's really not much you can say. You'll go around running in circles like chickens, not knowing what you're talking about. And then when I finally say, listen, this is the deal, this is how it happened, this is what's going on, and this is how we're moving forward, you can be like, oh, this girl, she was prepared, she put all her things like this, she did all of these. I do have aunts, yeah.
They in that bedroom talking about
no,
you.
It's fine. They can talk, but at this point in time, they really have nothing to say.
That's the thing. Isn't that the thing, though, about black families?
It is. It is.
There's so much overwhelming excitement. And even that excitement, Yawena, is so twofold. Mm. The excitement is an excitement about a new baby because that is a big excitement for aunts in particular. Right? Aunts are a thing.
Yeah. I know.
And also for your mom. But also when you what they think is young, what they think
a baby to them.
And what doesn't look like what they believe
should be the perfect
experience, then they're talking about you.
I'm fine. They have like three details. They have like, I'm pregnant, which means she had sex, which means a baby's going to be born. That's all they have right now. Wow. And that's fine for me. But I know that when the situation comes together in the way that I've tried. I mean, it's been a very frustrating thing. Obviously, there's another person involved. And so I'm trying to sort of balance that out in terms of when I want things to happen versus when somebody else wants things to happen. When we come together in a space where we're like in agreement, okay, now we can both say this, then I'm ready to say we're both saying this. I don't want to say things by myself and be putting things on another person. Somebody must be able to speak for themselves as well. And when you speak for yourself, we must all be present so we all hear you. And when I speak, we must all be present so everybody can hear me so that there's no question about what's happening. And I think for me, that has been the biggest thing about the process is I want people not to have ideas or assumptions about what it should be, what it shouldn't be, or what's happened or whatever. It is what it is, and I'm showing you what it is, and I'm cool, so you don't need to worry.
So Lynn, let's talk about the experience of being pregnant. So the physical experience.
Yes.
Because that's all the emotional experience. Mm-hmm. That's all the family experience. That's the work experience. And I think that the one thing for me is that going forward, it's always going to be that balance, that balancing act. At least one of the things that I learned And I'm not sure I quite learned it, but I think it was happening to me as well. And I think it took me a little bit of time to recognize that what I was learning when I was pregnant is the balance, the balancing, because having a baby, raising a child, having a career and a life and, you know, all of those things are such, they always, it's always like throwing balls in the air and hoping
nothing that, falls. That,
in fact, it's like throwing eggs in the, air. So the physical experience for you, have you had time to process that physical experience, and what has that been like for you?
The physical experience, I think for me, like certain things like your body changing literally right in front of you.
Although those boobs look nice.
Thank you.
And she's not shy about them. No?
I think for me, I don't know. For me, I'm not like nothing bothers me about the physical experience in and of itself in terms of like changes, like stretch marks and things like that, or your belly growing and wondering, is it going to come back to what it was before? Because I was pretty small before I was pregnant. And I, for me, it doesn't really bother me so much. I'm confident in the fact that once I do give birth and once I do find time, that I'll still try and maintain an active lifestyle. I mean, even now, it probably sounds cheesy, but I try to make the best out of a situation that might somebody else might see as difficult. So I don't have a car, so I use public transport a lot, which means, and I use double transport. So I'm walking from home to transport, from that transport to the next transport. Then when I get off that transport, I'm walking to work. And for me, I decided, instead of seeing that as, oh my God, I don't have a car and I'm pregnant, I was like, this is my exercise time. This is when I get to keep fit and walk and make sure that I'm keeping myself active. And I consider it that, like, I literally feel like that's my exercise time and I don't worry about it. And I try to implement that type of thinking in everything that I do. And so when I think about, okay, what my body looks like, I'm like, well, this is what I get for wanting this baby. And this baby is the most precious person in my life. And I really don't care if you can't, if there's somebody, I'm not going to think about my body in terms of what some other man in the future might think. I'm satisfied with the process that I've gone through and the physical changes that my body's gone through. And I feel blessed to look the way I do. For a while, like I said, because I wasn't talking about the pregnancy a lot, I didn't know what to wear because I was in that awkward stage where you kind of look like you're pregnant, but you kind of have, like, you might look like you have a belly, so people won't be quite sure. And so I didn't know what to wear. And so I was like covering it up a lot and it just felt so weird. And then once my belly sort of rounded out properly, I was like, now I'm going to start dressing so people can actually see that I'm having this baby, and I'm going to try and make it as cute and as normal as possible.
And she is cute.
As cute.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not going, because I asked my sister, I was like, so where do people buy maternity clothes? I'm like, help me out here. Like, I'm going to go shopping. I've decided I'm going shopping. And she's like, you know, maternity clothes aren't that nice, right? I'm like, so what am I going to do? She's like, no, just go to a regular store and buy bigger sizes. And that's what I did. And I just went and I bought like size 10s and 12s and 8s. And in fact, like some
that's
of the
her stuff, version of bigger sizes.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's normal for us.
Just putting that out.
No, but like, so, and that's what I did. And it felt really great to have like at least those few items that can make you feel a lot better. I started, like, I went and I bought makeup and I was just like, I'm going to try and make the best of it as I can. And physically, I want the physical representation and manifestation of this pregnancy not to look like it's a burden on me and not look like I'm tired, because I'm already going to walk like I'm tired and I'm already going to strain when, like, he's kicking me or whatever. So I don't need to add to that by, like, not showing up
and not being cute.
And I'm also at work, you know, I'm meeting people at work, I'm talking with people. So I'm also, I need to also keep up the fact that I accepted a job and I also need to look the part for the job. So yeah.
And then the every other week gynae visits.
Yes.
Because most girls go to the, at least you should go to the gynae at least once a year, right? So once a year, and it's an awful uncomfortable experience for most people. You're not sure, is your gynae a man or a woman?
A woman.
A woman.
Yes.
Do you prefer a woman or
I prefer women. I was just like, I'm not doing this with a man. Like, nah, okay. It's all good. Like, I might have felt comfortable. I guess it's just because I went to a woman first. And also, I never went to a gynae before I got pregnant. Oh. So I was one of those people that are just like, hey, man, I'm good. Like,
okay.
So it was only when I got pregnant and the fact that the first person I went to was a woman, it just, that feels felt normal right. to me. Mm. So I don't know, had I been presented with a male, if I would have felt comfortable. I doubt I would have felt completely comfortable. But I mean...
So tell me about the experience then, having never been to a gynae before. Felicity.
I know, I'm
I
terrible.
I need to have a different conversation with you.
I'm absolutely terrible. and I'm such a hypochondriac at sometimes. I'm like that. I'm like weird. I'm sometimes really a hypochondriac and then sometimes I'm just like nah.
I'm not showing my
what's
vajayjay.
That twitch? Like, no, it doesn't. What's that pain in my heart or whatever? Like, so I'm either or. I'm never in between. And so that first experience was pretty interesting because I remember she told me to take off my pants and lie on the bed thing, and I was like, in my head I'm like, does she mean pants and underwear? Panties. like the underwear as well, so because I was wearing like a top and I'm like, but I'm gonna be here just in a top and you're gonna see my like my whole bum and vagina. I was like, so I was kind of confused, so I asked her, I was like, oh sorry, do you mean the, and the she was like, yes.
She was like,
I was like, oh okay, this is real, okay cool, so you actually gonna have your face in my vagina, okay cool. It was really really weird. And I was like, okay. But I was fine with it because she's a very, very nice lady. She was very calm. And so, yeah, I was fine with it then. And she's been quite gentle with me. I do have to say, I'm not going to her anymore because it was at a private hospital. And so now, because my medical aid obviously doesn't cover me, so I have to go to a public hospital. So now I have to start doing the checkups at a public hospital. And I went to one... Yeah. And it was awful. It was terrible. Like, because I was trying to... No, I went into some sort of false labor thing. So they literally thought I was going to give birth. This was like 3 weeks ago. And so they had to check if I was dilated.
Is that when they...
Like they put the finger inside and they're like, where is the cervix? I've is heard. It open or is it closed? And you're like... Mama, please.
What are you doing? Wait,
not like
wait.
This. Like you don't
know me well enough, girl.
My thing is, like, I'm sure you can feel if it's open or closed if you like just kind of touch
gently.
It. You don't have to
evidently
like,
not.
Now twist your arm and do all kinds of things. I was like, what is this woman doing? And the thing is, there were three of them who did it, like, because they kept
they
having
make,
to check because they
sure.
were confused with what was going on to me because the monitor was showing labor contractions, but I wasn't dilating, so they kept having to come and check me, and I was just like, wow. The very last woman was the worst. Like, I screamed. I was closing my legs. I was like, this is torture now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it sometimes also depends on who the person is and how they mm-hmm. treat you. But it can be quite traumatic, I think, especially if you're expecting or used to a much more gentler approach. And for me, it makes me very wary about public hospitals and giving birth there because. It's so fast and you got to keep it moving. Like, everybody's having a baby right now. So, yeah, it's quite nerve-wracking, but yeah.
Sure.
I think hello, Palissa.
No,
hello, Palissa.
I have a feeling I was brought into here to actually scare the living hell out of me. What am I listening to now? Like, my heart is pounding.
Why?
Because now, you know, speaking about Felicity, when she was telling me about how she found out she was pregnant and what had happened, I actually told my mom, and my mom always says, when you fall pregnant, it's not our child, it's not our baby, it's not the family's, you know, grandchild or whatever, it's your baby. The fact that the child chose your womb, it means that's your baby. And the way she's, you know, she's taken into it, making the decisions and taking charge, just shows that at the end of the day, my decision to actually have a baby is because it's going to be my baby. But you guys are scaring me now. But
don't be scared, girl.
So the point is not to scare you. And why this is my dream conversation in the history of, like, conversations is because... Mm. as you all know, I only have the one child. Mm-hmm. And Felicity, so that feeling sick and whatnot, you at least knew. So I did not even know that I'm pregnant, right?
Oh, wow.
And because I didn't, like, because I didn't think it was going to be so soon. You know, I was like, I went off of birth control and I was like, calculating it, I read all the books. It was like, when you've been on birth control for so long, you know, it takes a while and all of that. So I didn't think it was going to be so soon. So I literally thought I was dying for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
because my mind didn't say, can you just check if you're pregnant? That's a whole other story for another day. But I did, I actually, because I also never had classic kind of morning sickness. Mm-hmm. I was just not sick. Well. Mm-hmm. I was just feverish. I never, not once did I throw up.
Oh, wow.
But I was just feverish. I was sometimes nauseous. Tired. So I thought I was dying. But I'm also the kind of hypochondriac that thinks they're dying and I'm too afraid to go find out if I'm actually really dying. Mm. And eventually when I was like, okay, I'm going to the doctor because if I don't, I'm going to like, and the doctor was like,
you're pregnant.
I think you need to take a pregnancy test.
But it's
and
funny.
I was like, what?
Since for me, every time I go to the doctor, every time I'll have a headache. First thing he asks, are you pregnant? No. I have a stomach ache. Are you pregnant? No. Like every single
age.
Time. Every single time I go to the doctor, I'm like, don't worry. I'm not pregnant, but I'm not feeling well. And sometimes I know even my best friend is pregnant. She was going out. She was partying. No morning sickness, no nothing. Hmm. Next thing, 7 weeks pregnant.
And so the thing for me is it's always fascinating to have the conversation with the newly pregnant and all of the things that I then watch, because I'm always watching from a place of fascination. I'm always watching from a place of fascination to hear all of those things that are happening, and it's I suppose a little bit of my vicariously living,
reliving it.
If you could ask, so let's first talk about the conversations you are now having with your sister or with your mother. Mm. How you have lots of conversations about preparing, about being pregnant, about the pregnancy, about childbirth.
Most of what I know is like just me doing my own
from
research.
A book and the internet.
From the internet, really. I'm not even gonna buy a book, like I'm just
what?
On Google.
Felicity.
Literally I lay awake on my phone and I'm like,
Felicity, you're not having the full experience. No, I'm going to bring you what to expect when you're expecting.
Yep. No, can I tell you, I'm not, I don't like having
expectations.
I'm a very weird person, I guess. I just don't like having hot hearts with family. I'm not good at that thing. So for me, having that kind of conversation is kind of awkward for me. Like, why are we talking about this? Like, why can we talk about like maybe what we're going to eat for supper tonight or whatever? Because like with my family, like we don't amongst each other, because it's three girls and a mother, we don't discuss boyfriends and things. Mm. We don't have girl talk. So for me, this would be the ultimate girl talk. And so we're not having it. Like, we touch base. That's what we do. We're like, okay, so did you go for the checkup and what did they say? Yeah, this is what they said. In fact, they actually haven't even asked me what the checkups people have said. And I go to them so often, but they just ask me, have you been going? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, so, and everything's cool. I'm like, yeah. And that's literally how it goes.
Do you know if you're having a girl or a boy?
I do. It's a boy.
It's a boy. Oh, so now you do you know what you're expecting? Like, do you know like the gory stories? Because from
the
our
gory
mothers,
stories,
from our sisters, we get all that. Okay, I went through labor for like 23 hours, or this is what happened. Or
Do you know what kind of birth you're having?
Yeah, natural.
You're having a natural birth. Mm. Okay,
but the thing is, for me, I don't know. I guess I'm just too carefree, or I'm like a free spirit, or whatever. I'm not really concerned with what people have to say about what I'm going to go through, because at the end of the day, it's still not going to be the same as what if. So you might have given birth for like 16 hours. Maybe I'll be there for 4. I think the best thing for me to do is prepare myself for what I imagine would happen for me. But I think I wouldn't ask my mom or my sister what it's like, because
would you ask somebody that's not them?
I wouldn't. I honestly wouldn't. I don't. Oh, okay. I don't ever think about getting information from another person, really, because I see that experience as their own personal individual experience. And so I rather go on the internet where I get a variety of different experiences, and it's a little bit more objective, and it's different people talking at the same time, and everybody's comparing. And so I can literally just read one article and get multiple perspectives, or read an article that's been written by a doctor, and somebody, and that doctor will say, listen, every woman is different. And so I know every woman is different, so I don't get like to, so I don't have that need to find out from individual people what is the thing.
Do you have an expectation in your mind?
I don't. The only thing that kind of worries me now is, being that I'm going to give birth at a public hospital, I want to know if they're going to let me give birth the way I want to, because I don't want to be lying on my back. I want to be like either squatting or on all fours or semi-standing, because it's easier for the baby to be born in that way. I mean, that's how the birth canal is designed. And for me, that's my preference for how I want to give birth. And in fact, it's what I'm actually, I feel like I deserve. And the baby deserves it too. An easier passage for the both of us is what we both deserve. And so I don't know how to ask those ladies, because clearly they don't give a damn about any of that stuff. They're just going to be like, babes, but everybody lies on the bed. And for me, I really want, I think one of the things that has bothered me a lot during this process, especially in recent months, is realizing how many women of the, I guess, lower LSM type things that we live in are unable to choose how they give birth. They sort of just have to give birth the way it's done and get it over and done with. And I think that that's the most unfortunate thing that I've experienced so far, is how some people are robbed of the small little comforts that they could have during childbirth, just because we have to go to a place where there's so many of us and there's not enough people to assist us, or there's not enough beds and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I want to have the, I want to be able to make that decision. Like, I don't want to lie down. Like, it should be up to me. But if I go to a public hospital, they're going to say, this is how it's done here. And I don't know if I'll have that choice. And I think it's something that I'll inquire about. But from my short experience over this last month with public spaces, government hospitals, I've not really had a great experience. Like, you stand in queues even though you're pregnant, and there's no chairs, like nobody's really talking to you. If you don't say something in a particular way, they're going to ignore you for like 5 hours or whatever, just random stuff like that. And I think you deserve in that moment for people to take real good care of you, for people to treat you like you are at the center of the earth, even if it's just for those few hours, because you need to be at ease, like in your spirit, in your soul, and physically, for that baby to come and for you to be happy about it. It shouldn't be, it's already going to be physically painful, but you shouldn't have to be dealing with a nurse who's like giving you attitude and things like that. Those are just extra additional things that shouldn't be a part of the experience. It's a really beautiful experience. And I think if people could have that full experience, that physical pain wouldn't be such a big factor in terms of how that whole process is. So yeah, I think we need more choices in public hospitals. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm going to offline that conversation with you just now. No, because I agree. I think you are the center. You are the center of the universe.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Literally.
But I'm so in love with you right now.
Maybe she was full pregnant again.
No, I'm so in love with you right now because that's you're in that space.
Yeah.
In your mind, you're in that perfect space. You're bringing a life into this world, and you know, and you're like a tough woman.
About I'm a bit of a control freak.
You're like,
so
you're a tough mother about it. You're all of those things that you want for a mother. And so I am. I'm completely in love with you.
Thank you.
About that. And so, Palesa, now that this is your moment to ask the question. So, Palesa, you're desperate for this year to be your year.
Yes, yes. Girl, bye. Girl. Yes.
This is your moment to ask the questions that you really want to know. Mm. And because you're going to be doing this, so are you gonna do this on your own?
So I had figured if I haven't found my significant other by June this year. I have already contacted an ex-boyfriend to say, we are ready, if you are ready. No, but it's a conversation I've had with somebody before, where I think as time goes by, you see things change. There's no longer that family structure of saying there's a mother and a father and, you know, we're going to start making kids. Or there's that... I want a baby. Are we ready? Are we getting married? This is, you know, these days you can have a baby on your own. And if marriage is not an option or it's not coming, what are you going to do? You're going to wait. Like, I see myself having four kids. I'm already 28.
And are you not afraid of the drama that comes with the baby daddy?
Well, which is why I'm saying I want to do it with somebody I already know.
But he'll still be a baby daddy.
Yeah, but...
And there's drama.
There's co-parenting. There's you know, there's counselling. There's doing
Felicity,
things.
Felicity is already just throwing her hands up in the air.
And I feel, like Felicity said, it's different for everybody. If he's not willing to, you know, not bring drama in it, or if there's complications, then it's fine. I will definitely do it on my own. Like, most definitely.
Look, and I think the one thing is that there's definitely not so much stigma anymore to being a young black woman having a baby on your own and making it happen. I have so many friends who are just so cool about it. And when I look at them, I'm just so horrified at how cool they actually are.
It's normal.
The cool factor of it is definitely a thing. Like, you know, so like for you, Felicity, you're like, I still want to be cute, still want to be doing this, be out here.
Yeah, yeah, mommy.
But when I think about drama, I'm just like, oh God, it makes me tired that there is so much drama in the world, and no matter how hard you cocoon your person, because that's what a child is your person. There is like drama. And the kind of things that you look forward to, Felicity, in the next
2 months.
3 weeks. What did you say? You're 32.
Yeah.
32. Which is essentially, so can I also just say, the one thing about being pregnant, it's like golf. I read a thing about golf that golf is like being pregnant. Everybody has advice. Whether you want it or not, people are always telling you stuff. And people are always touching you. How do you feel about that?
I tell people, like, don't touch me. Some people I'm okay with. It's very weird. There's some people I'm fine with them touching me. And then there's other people where I'm just like, there's something icky about
like
you.
Like, I touched you.
Yeah. Other people I'm cool with it. You just get a feeling, like there's a vibe and you're like, but I don't let men touch my belly and I don't let men talk to my baby. Aww. Only my baby daddy will do that. And if he doesn't want to do that, then cool. Yeah. But for me, like, I'm not trying to get him used to any other man's touch or voice at this point. So I'm still leaving that door open for the father. So, yeah.
Mm. And then when it comes to this...
Fascinating.
Yeah, I think you have to... I think I've learned to give of myself even more than I should in this process. There's certain things that I just won't allow. Like, it doesn't matter what our issues are. Can be, at the end of the day, this person is the father of this baby, and I need to make sure that I can at least do my best to make sure that I give him the opportunity to have that relationship without feeling bad or embarrassed by how it's been so far. Because how it's been so far is between me and him. This baby is here, but it's not really here. So sometimes you can't detach the person from the baby. But once the baby's here, I'd like a person to feel like, oh, I can completely involve myself. And for them to make that decision on their own, and it's separate from me. Like, you're looking at the kid and you're deciding what you're going to do. And so I want to make sure that I leave it so open and free that you're able to then make your own decision, and it isn't influenced by anything that I've said or anything that I've done over the past few months, because that would have just been more so between us. So I'm like, no man's talking to my baby. Like, the voice, the male voice he will hear is his father's voice if he so chooses, and if not, then we move forward from there. But I need to leave that opportunity, that gate open. So
you're taking me down.
Wow. You see, no drama.
It's not even a no drama thing. It's like just trying to minimize the stress, and you have to think of what's best for the baby. Regardless of how you feel and things like that. You have to learn to take the high road, and it's not to sound self-righteous or anything. It's just a process that I've went through, because I don't want to be that bitter black woman. I'm already her by the fact that I'm single and I'm black and I've got baby daddy drama. Already it's imposed on me that I'm that mad black woman already, you know, and whatever I say, it will be spicy somehow, but I have to try my best to sort of minimize that where I can.
Oh girl, it's okay.
You know that thing? So I don't want to have stress. I don't want to be stressed out too much as well. And I'd like a working relationship with, people. So it's
cool.
You
know, one of the things that I found over the years, that it's okay as I grow older, to be that spicy black woman, it's okay. I'm okay with that.
You know,
that shit.
I just want to love my baby. At this point, that's all that
and
matters
that's
to
it.
Me. That's all I want. And I think sometimes if you're bitter, I don't want to look at my baby and be bitter about a part of him.
You know, you never will be.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't want to be bitter about, here, take him for this, for these many days, or here, do this, or you didn't buy this, or you didn't come and see him. It shouldn't be my concern what other people decide to choose or not to do. I should be completely and 100% happy with what it is that I'm doing between me and my baby. So that's why I'm sort of just tossing all of that stuff aside, and I really just want to enjoy. And I don't think about these things. I don't worry too much. I should be worried. Like, my lease finishes in Feb. I don't know where I'm going to go. Like, I'm still looking for
a mother's house.
It's too far from work. So like, I'm trying to figure out, like, but at the same time, I'm patient, because I don't know. I guess I'm not like one of those religious people, but I do believe that things will work out. Like, I think if you're a good person and you put out really good energy and you work hard for, like, you have to get a reward. You have to be rewarded. And I've recently been rewarded. I won't speak on it, but like, even in the work situation, there was a situation that I was dealing with, and the situation was made better. And I was like, you know what? I was panicking, but I wasn't going to tell anybody, and I wasn't going to grovel and ask for things, because I know that I would have to find a way out. And luckily then the work situation worked out, and now I have like one less thing to worry about. And so even in terms of where I'll be staying and stuff, I'm like, I'm going to be patient with it. I'm not going to rush things. And yeah, so I don't want it to worry too much. I don't want to feed the worry to my baby. So yeah.
Melissa, you are taking the notes, huh, Ken?
Yes, I am.
And you're taking these notes. And this is the thing for me, is that every woman's experience is a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what you learn from every conversation with every woman is so different and so profound. So different and so profound. And just to just absorb it all.
Yeah.
And the thing about, it's so cute to be around a woman that has got her space worked out.
Mm.
Because believe that the job you are doing, and this is the tiredness that you feel, because the job that you are doing is a job of building a human being.
Yeah.
That's what your body is busy doing. Mm. That's like, it's building a human being. Mm. Even before all of the love, all of the attention, all of the inputs, all of the homework writing, even before all of that, that's the biggest job that you're doing. And it's a phenomenal job.
Yeah. I feel honored.
To even want to do it. Jesus. And the thing, you know, and in the space of the what people tell you is hold on lightly to your beliefs. Hold on lightly to your beliefs. So that when the moments come where they are challenged or you need to let go of them, you're not so like, I can't let go of this thing. I can't, you know? So just hold on lightly to them. You need all of their strength to hold on to that baby.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's cute.
Good advice.
I still want a baby.
You know what? I'm not even going to. I think if you're prepared, if you think that you're going to do what you need to do, and you know that you're going to have the kind of, either you know you're going to have the support, you're going to have 50% of the support, as long as your situation is clear. Like, you need to see your situation not through the romantic eyes. You need to be like, okay, when I look at this, can I rely on my mom? Can I rely on this person? Can I rely on that person? And you need to be honest with yourself about how much you can rely on them, and not because they're being mean, but how much of themselves can they give to the situation? And sit with the reality that if you had nobody in the world, would it still be something feasible for you to do? That's what I did. I was like, if I had to not ask for a thing, if I had to not speak to anybody, what would I do? And the decision was, I was still going to do it because I wouldn't be the first woman. I wouldn't be the last. There's a lot of women who have had no one.
Millions.
Like, I look at, like, it's weird, but like some, and I probably shouldn't be the example I'm using, but I look at women who like sometimes are homeless and they're pregnant and I'm like, and they have their babies and I'm like, it's not a great situation to be in, but even they were able to give birth to a life. They were able to actually go through that 9 months and actually give birth to a life. And it could have been intensely difficult, but they were able to at least get past that 9 months. So that's for me. I was like, if they can get past the 9 months, I can get past the 9 months. Mm-hmm. And I look at other women and I'm like, okay, well, if they could get past this without having this, then I can surely do that. It's not ideal, but I need to be prepared that I might have to find myself in a situation where I literally have nothing or no one. Can I still do this? What will give me the strength to move forward? And do I know that I can be of sound mind to make a plan so that at least I can fix things when it needs to be fixed? Cover myself at, like, you know, you need to know that you can do that and you have the strength for that. I still don't know if I have the strength for it. I still don't think I've gone through the most difficult part. Like, carrying the baby, I think, is quite easy. It's when the baby arrives that
that's
all the challenges...
That's what I was going to ask, because the one thing I learned is that as you're then pregnant for 10 months, because that's what 40 weeks is, 10 months. Yeah, 40 weeks. That's the 36 is the number. You can give birth at 36. But like they'll give you
up,
it can go up to 42 weeks, right? Is that it's preparing you for holding that baby. It's preparing you for that thing. So I was gonna ask if you feel like, if you feel at this point at 32 weeks that you're ready to hold the baby, or do you still want him inside for a little longer?
I mean, I don't want him inside because, well, I'd like my body back, thanks. But at the same time, I genuinely don't know what type of mother I'm going to be. Like, I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with having this brand new human. I'm winging it, honestly. I'm winging it, but I'm winging it in faith. Like, I'm winging it in the faith that I will rather sacrifice myself, you know? So... yeah.
Oh, there's a secret there. Mm-hmm. You know what the secret is?
What?
Everybody's winging it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well then, there we go.
Everybody's winging it. There is no manual. There is no manual. Mm-hmm. At least there is no manual that somebody's keeping from you.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's winging it. Palisa, is this your year?
This is my year. This is my year. They say that you are never ready for a baby. And if I feel...
Here she is, 32 weeks later, she's still going, oh, I don't know.
See, so if I'm not ready now, when will I ever be ready? You see? So it's it. I'm having a baby.
So wait, has the ex said he'll do it?
The ex said he'll do it, but as Sis Pumi said, there'll always be drama. Because initially... We discussed it in happy moments, and you know, it was shared with the parents. And
Nichela Bazali, Palisa.
Now that we're going back to it, we're 2 years later. I'm like, I'm still here, and I know you have two kids already.
Oh, Palisa, listen, doesn't say, Palisa, you are opening a whole other conversation here.
So, yeah, but we're still in discussion. It comes with a bit of terms and conditions, but I've always said, as long as I put the baby first, we are going to work through anything.
Well, there it is. If he says yes, then I don't see what the problem is.
There it is, girls. There it is. Girls, you've made my day. You've properly made my day. Because this is the... I'm sorry for you, madam. Girl talk. This is the ultimate girl talk. Because that's what we do here on Womandla. It's the ultimate girl talk. You're feeling a little exhausted?
Yeah, man. Girl talk's not really my thing. No, but it's more I do girl talk with like other people, not my family.
It's the ultimate girl talk. And it's, for me, such a privilege to have like little sisters like you guys and have this kind of conversation. It's, I also don't get to have many adult conversations. Me and Kanecha. Me and Kanecha, we don't get to have many of these kinds of conversations. So thank you for coming and chatting.
Thank you
for sharing.
For having us.
And if you remember one thing, girls, don't be like Felicity. It's important to have your at least once a year gynae appointment.
Yes, it's a big thing.
Look, it's a big thing. And because it is, I'm so glad you girls also came, because I was also going to rant about Donald Trump and I don't want to give him my airtime, right?
No, it's fine.
But it's important because not only because it's important to know what is going on down there, not just for grooming purposes, but also because one of the most common cancers killing women in South Africa, more than anywhere else in Africa, is cervical cancer. And if it's detected early, you can do something about it. And the only way to detect it is with a pap smear once a year. That's all it takes. Mm-hmm. Once a year, you've got to go through the discomfort.
Especially if you're sexually active.
Between the ages of 14, from 14 years old. And now there's a vaccine. So one of these days we'll have a conversation about a vaccine. But thank you very much, girls. Thank you for coming
thank
and chatting with
coming.
Me. Keeping it real for me. You've been listening to Womandla. Thank you, Felicity. Thank you, Palesa.
Thank you.
I hope we've helped you make your decision easier.
No, you've kind of scared me a bit, but it's okay.
Oh, good. Good. I always said, if I can't be a good example, please can I be a terrible warning? See you next week. CliffCentral.com.